3:14. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and we know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends greet you, sweet friends, my name.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Very glad that you've come our way. We're always thankful for these opportunities we have to be with one another. The last Sunday of the month, we try to do a what say ye and try to have some other individual from the congregation say a few words to us, and we're very thankful for Brother Shane. These what say ye's always put me in a hard spot. He's been using PowerPoints and illustrations. Shane's triangle, I don't think I'm going to be bringing any triangles up. He's got more talent. We're so thankful for Brother Shane. He has so many talents. And I know it's not easy to speak in front of people. A lot of people say that it's up there right before death in terms of fear, public speaking. So we're so thankful for Brother Shane and the message he brought this evening in terms of, you know, the closer we get to God, the more stable we are. And really, lukewarm and being in the middle just doesn't work. You know, lukewarm and in the middle just doesn't work. We got to get as close as we can to God. And as we get closer to God, we bring more stability to our relationship and our lives. This evening, I just want to speak a few minutes on 3 John chapter 1 as we close it out. This month, we've been looking at 3 John. We looked at the 3 individuals. Well, we looked at 2 individuals we found in 3 John. We first looked at God. And we have Brother John writing this letter. And we see that Gaius receives it. And we see and we look at Gaius' hospitality. Is that Gaius was very hospitable. And he had a reputation for his hospitality. And that was very, very good. Then we looked at Diotrephes. And we looked at how Diotrephes was very dominating. And he was really tearing apart the church. And you start seeing that in verses 9 and 10 of 3 John. So we looked at Gaius. He was complimented by John for being hospitable and looking out for the brethren. And we have Diotrephes, another individual who is very dominating, trying to dominate the church, control the church. And we see his pride, we see his malicious words, and we see the division that he brings. This evening I just want to focus a little bit on those concluding verses. Because we look at Gaius, the hospitable. We looked at Diotrephes, the dominating Diotrephes. And this evening, I just want to look at Demetrius. You know, there's not a whole lot said about Demetrius, but as we look into these last few verses, I just want to pull out just a few things. Number one, looking at verse 11, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." You know, that's powerful, and I think John is writing to Gaius, but then he brings up these 2 individuals. He brings up Diotrephes, who is dominating and not doing things that are really helpful for the church, and he's actually dividing the church. And then Demetrius is mentioned, and it seems that Demetrius has a good reputation. Really, Demetrius is just standing on the truth, and I think there's a comparison there. But you think about that, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." I've got a question. Who do you imitate? You know, in 3 John, we have a lot of different individuals. We have Gaius, we have Diotrephes, we have Demetrius, we have these different individuals. The question is who are you trying to imitate? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." I don't think Paul was saying that he was that special. I think Paul says, "I'm trying to be as much like Christ as I can be." And whenever we can get on that road and pursue that road of following the example of Jesus, following the footsteps of Jesus, and get closer to Jesus each and every day, it's better for our families, it's better for our communities, it's better for the church, it's better for our relationship with God, it's better for the world. Who are you imitating? You know, that's just very powerful, just a short verse there. "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil." Don't be like Diotrephes, who is very prideful, who tried to tear other people down with malicious words, who was trying to divide the church. We need to imitate those things that are good. Who do you imitate? We know all good things come from God. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it certainly gives that idea that all good things come from God. Are you imitating God? Are you imitating Christ? Who are you imitating? Who are you trying to copy? It's amazing what our kids, as they watch this, what they will do. It's amazing what they pick up. It's amazing what they see. It's amazing what they observe. It's amazing what they will copy, what they will imitate. What do you imitate? Certainly here we have a strong message from John, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. You know, you think about that idea, who are you imitating? You really have a choice on your hands. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, the devil is the father of lies. God is the source of all good things. Who are you imitating? Certainly a question for you this evening. You have a choice to make. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it talks about a couple roads. It says, enter by the narrow gate. For broad is the way, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You have a choice on your hand. You're at a crossroads. Many people are not going to try to imitate God. They are not going to put in the hard work to try to do those things that are good, those things that are challenging. That's something to think about. Who are you imitating? Verse 12, it says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. You think about that, really what that's talking about, I think, in verse 12, is talking about Demetrius' reputation. What is your reputation? My dad was always big on that when I was growing up, about reputation and character. What do you do when you don't think anyone's looking? What do you do in all situations? What do you do here or there? What's your reputation? Demetrius had a reputation. What was it? It says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. From the truth itself. You know, when you think about the truth or you think about a law, for example, the law, when you start thinking about a law that you break condemns you. A law that is kept approves you. And certainly we know that we're not perfect. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We're not going to keep the law perfectly. And of course, we understand the transition between the Old and the New Testament. We want to be under faith. We want to be under grace. But you think about that, is that idea, the truth itself gives a testimony of Demetrius. Is that as Demetrius is living his life, he is living it in accordance to truth, and that when people, I believe, hear the words of God, they know Demetrius is matching up with what the truth is. Does your life match up with the truth? The Bible tells us to abhor what is evil and to cling to that which is good. Are you clinging to good? Do you have a good reputation? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's your reputation? What's your reputation? Demetrius had a good testimony from all. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Number one, I want you to think about who are you imitating. Number two, I want you to think about your reputation. When your name is brought up, what is associated with your reputation? What is brought up with your name? And lastly, let's look at verses 13 and following. It says, I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, that we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. You know, I think about that. John understood the importance of personal contact. This is a short letter. John is trying to deal with some issues. He's trying to get the word out. I think about Diotrephes and trying to encourage Gaius and trying to encourage the church to stand against falsehood. But you think about that. John understood the value of personal contact. He says, I'm writing this letter to you, but I want to see you face to face. You know, there's a difference between a text message and seeing someone face-to-face. There's a difference between a letter and seeing someone face-to-face. And I know our world through COVID, a whole lot happened, but face-to-face is still very important. In fact, I think it's crucial. And I think John understood that. John understood there was value in the letter that he sent, but he says, I want to see you
face to face. And I think John really felt, hindered in many ways, because I think he wanted to be there face to face. Because when he talks about Diotrephes, he says he almost wants to address the situation, but he knows he's distant. He knows that he thinks that Diotrephes is keeping messages back from this particular area of the church, and I think he knows that. I think John wants to deal with it, but he's got to be there face to face. He says, I want to see you face to face. I want to be there. He understood the value of personal contact. Do we understand that value as well? Oh yeah, we can text people. Oh yeah, we can Zoom people. But there is something special about face-to-face. I tell you, you might be able to go a period of time in your marriage on Zoom or text message, but I don't think you want to go too long. I don't think my wife would be happy. I don't think I would be happy without the face-to-face contact that is very important. And I think John understood that. So when he says, I have many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, that we shall speak face-to-face. John understood the value of personal contact. But look at the very last end of 3 John, the letter. He says, peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. You know the most beautiful word to an individual is their name. If you're having a Bible study with somebody and you mention their name, watch them pop up. Watch them light up. In fact, it's a teaching strategy they teach in the classroom, is learn their names as quickly as possible. Because the worst thing is, if you're going to call out a behavior and say, hey, you stop that. If you say John, all of a sudden John shoots up to attention. Names are important. Names have value. In fact, it's probably the most valuable thing that you have. I've got a question for you. What if I quizzed you on all the names in the congregation? How would you do it? If I quizzed you on all the names in the congregation, well, you say, that's the preacher's job. I work very, very hard, and I think I've about got it. I think I'm about there. It's taken me a while. I tell you what I did in public school. I got the yearbook. I got the yearbook of the year before, and I would make myself flashcards, and when I went in on the first day of school, I knew every one of my students' names. They were shocked, they appreciated it, and they loved to hear their names. It made a difference. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to have personal contact. John understood that. He says, I want to see you face to face. And he says, when you greet the friends, he says, greet them by name. Greet them by name. Three short things out of the end of 3 John. We see, who are you imitating? We see a good reputation, and we see the idea of personal contact. You know, as we come to the conclusion this evening, certainly not one of our traditional services, but we're thankful to have these services in relation to having somebody else have the opportunity to speak as well besides me. But it comes to the end where we start thinking about, what does the Bible have to say? You know, Jesus died, he was put in the grave, and he rose again. And he told his followers in Matthew chapter 28, he tells them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You see that in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. You also see in Matthew chapter 28, he tells them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things. Jesus' followers followed that message. In Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost, the gospel was preached, and those individuals heard that word. They believed it. We can see the repentance. Certainly they would have to confess that Jesus is Lord, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way if you come as we stand and as we sing.